Peter, turning about, saw that disciple whom Jesus loved. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Just yesterday, the feast of St. Stephen, we saw the enemies of Christ in act. They took St. Stephen into court. There they found him guilty of being a follower of Christ. They took him out of the town. They dropped their coats at the feet of Saul and began throwing their shower of stones on St. Stephen. And he fell in a pool of his blood, the first martyr of Christ. There is no shortage, truly, when we think about it, of those who wish to destroy Christianity, even today, just as then. But there is this one difference. Back then, the enemy was out in the open. It was clear what they were doing. Everything was unmasked. Public persecutions, the Colosseum, stonings, and everything else. And it was considered to be a great virtue to put to death our Lord's followers. But today, as the enemies of the Western culture and Christianity wage their war against what is left of this culture, they are masked. They're almost hidden. And much like the enemies of Christ at Vatican II, they work slyly and slowly. In Vatican II, what did you see? You would see them, well, first they would come out and, oh, we'll remove the prayers from the foot of the altar. But don't worry, it's for good reasons, pastoral reasons. And the last gospel, that can go too, again for pastoral reasons. And then they remove this part and that part, slowly taking away everything Catholic about the Mass. And all the while, people thought it was being done for good reasons. And then they woke up one day and their Mass was gone. So it is today in society. Go back to February. See what they have done. Well, at first it was just to wear a mask and quarantine yourself. 14 days, that's all we're asking. No more. We'll flatten the curve for sure that way. And the 2 weeks were up, and they tell us it's not enough. Now you have to stay home a little longer. Then later on, well, you better not go to work. We don't want you to infect the workers. It's all for your good health. And then they said, well, even that's not working now. You better just stay at home unless there is an emergency. Isolate, quarantine, or as the hashtag says, be alone together. They try to make it sound so very virtuous. And then you see how they take it, little by little, in the name of some good. But then when people wake up, what's going to be left of Christianity or our civilization? How many today are suffering because of all of this? And all they would like to see is a friendly smile, which is more than 1,000 words. But they're all hidden behind a mask. You don't even see them on a billboard going down the highway anymore. But now, we're told, lastly, for these holy days, no more family, no more friends. But you can have your virtual friends, just no gatherings. And then they tell us, well, Don't worry, though. We're your friends. We will take good care of you, and we are enough for you. But today we should be focusing on true friendships during this time, because friendships are so very necessary for mankind. We have been created by God as social creatures. We need conversation and eye contact. We need friends. Isolation? No. That brings sadness and depression. They do say that because of this isolation, the rates of suicide and depression, they're all skyrocketing this year. But friendships, why, even when you think about it, the Son of God himself had his favorite chosen friends. Do you remember that gospel around Holy Week? Right before he goes to suffer his passion, where does he stop off first? In the town of Bethany, because that's where Mary and Martha and Lazarus are. Why does he go there? He goes to see his friends, because he knows that in the home of his friend, he will find consolation before his suffering. That's why he goes. And then he has his other favorites too. He said to the apostles, remember, I no longer call you servants, but friends. And among the apostles, he still had his favorites. St. John, the pure, the chaste, the innocent, was our Lord's favorite apostle. It was this young man, St. John, whom our Lord chose to share in his joys and sorrows in a very special manner. He chose St. John to witness the transfiguration, to be with him in his sorrows, in the agony, the passion. And this young man was hand-picked by our blessed Lord to watch over the Blessed Virgin Mary upon our Lord's crucifixion. And then at the Last Supper, too, he was shown the most intimate signs of our Lord's friendship as St. John reclined his head upon the Sacred Heart. By his own actions, our blessed Lord showed that not only is it okay, but even necessary to have good friends and companions in this life. The saints understood that. One, however, would expect them in their great heights of holiness, way up there in the stars, that they are beyond any need of a friend, that they would be perfectly happy with just God and a cave somewhere in the desert. But Solomon said in the sacred scriptures, a faithful friend is the medicine of life. And St. Francis de Sales, our great patron here in Cincinnati, he says about himself, there is not a man who has a heart more tender and more open to friendship than mine, or who feels more keenly than I do the pain of separation from those whom I love. And St. Philip Neri, he was, they called him God's practical joker. Friendship was one of the pleasures of life that he allowed himself. And he was one that could annoy his friends. And he knew it too. He would test their patience. He would test their virtue. He made St. Charles Borromeo, he was a bit of a melancholy soul, to watch over his cat when he was away. And then he would make his priests read joke books to the cardinals, and all the while St. Philip would just be laughing boisterously and telling the cardinals, well, this is my favorite book. But in a sense, he really did like those books. He had a good sense of humor and some good friends. And we know the story of Saint Francis of Assisi. Did you know that he is the saint who they say most exactly walked in the footsteps of our blessed Lord? But even he had friends whom he loved very much. It was Saint Clare. And this is a friendship that God approved of. One day they were out having holy conversation, these two saints, and Saint Francis announced to Saint Clare, "Well, I think that we'd probably better go our own ways for a while and take care of our work and our prayers, and we won't talk anymore." Saint Clare was very saddened to hear this, so she asked him, "Well, when can we see each other and have these holy conversations again?" Well, it was winter. Saint Francis said, "I suppose when the snow melts and the roses are in full bloom again." There were no roses because of the snow. Well, Saint Clare, Scholastica-like, she began her prayers. She asked God to melt the snow and make the roses grow, and they did. That same day, all the snow melted, and the roses came up in full bloom. So out she went to the garden, she picked a rose, and marched straight on to St. Francis' door and knocked and gave him the rose. St. Francis knew it then. This was a friendship blessed by God. Now, in the middle of this year's trials, St. John has a reminder for us that of all of our friends, God is our best friend. And that's what the Christmas season is all about, isn't it? That mankind, who had made himself an enemy of God by his sin, is being pursued by the baby God. He comes down from heaven to earth to build up a friendship with us once more. Saint John says this in sacred scripture, "Deus est caritas," God is love. And then he says elsewhere, "By this hath the charity of God appeared to us, because God hath sent his only begotten Son into the world." Hearing those words, can we ever doubt that God truly is our friend? He wishes to dwell in our souls by his grace. He instituted the Holy Eucharist simply because, as he tells us in the Bible, "My delight is to be with you, the children of men." Let us therefore, St. John says, love God. And why? Because God hath first loved us. Today, they want to isolate you from your friends. Today, they would love to see you quarantine from church. But here is where you will find your friend. In the homes of your friends too, well, you should go there as well. For friendship is one of the greatest gifts that God has given us. Do not allow yourselves to be fooled into giving up the friendships that God has given you, and especially the friendship of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.